Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 6/17/2014, and we are here doing another show yet again on a Tuesday.
Yep. Happy anniversary to my parents. 52 years. I don't know. Nice. How does she put up with that guy?
I don't know.
52 years. That's a long time to be married.
Seems like it. You had to get married early to make it that far.
Yeah, they were married early. Actually, they were married twice. They eloped. They got married. They were in such a rush that they forgot to take the marriage certificate with them. So that they had to go get married again. Anyway, let's talk about the market. Sentiment is pretty amazing out there. Nothing seems to bother the bulls. We have Iraq. We have oil prices at 107-ish. We have Russia. We have some inflation that hit today. So I guess maybe if we see that the Fed is not so cooperative tomorrow, they're in a two-day meeting starting today and tomorrow, they'll come out in the afternoon at 2 o'clock with their announcement of the current purchases and the plans of the bonds, and obviously the very accommodative stance. But we have seen a few changes over the last couple of months, particularly with today, with the inflation number came out, it was double what the estimate was. So it was 0.4% month over month.
Wow.
I mean, not terrible, but
it's tearing up the place.
But if you add it up over time, you're at 2.1% on an annualized basis. Not like we're in a deflationary environment here.
Yeah, it's not as though this isn't a lie anyway.
Right. Well, we know that. But so the question is going to be, you know, we've heard for the last 2 months this whole background whispering by the Fed, oh, maybe we'll slow down and raise early. And, you know, I don't think it's been so long. It's been 4 or 5 years now that we've had such low interest rates. And so many times that we thought that interest rates wouldn't stay this low for this long, that I wonder, even if interest rates go up, if anybody's going to even, you know, think about it, because they'll be like, oh, it's going up a little bit, but it won't stay this way.
I don't know. I was going to mention this on the last show. In other words, I was going to ask, do you think that within the next week, the next month, or when is the market going to clip 17,000?
It looks like it's on their way. It's on their way there, no matter what. I mean, overnight we had.
It's kind of dead up there at the top. It just seems to be. I don't see any evidence that it wants to do anything drastic.
We're definitely vacillating. The big news right now, the big thing that's really driving things, is the merger and acquisition activity. You see that, for example, today, SolarCity came to a conference call, said they bought this smaller solar firm. They said that, hey, you know what? We need this to add excess capacity. Blah blah blah, and they went over this whole thing, but basically that they were buying this other firm. They're going to have this gigawatt or gigabit factory they're going to build eventually. Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk was on. The stock was up 18% today. I'm not exactly sure if it's 18% because they thought, well, we got such a great deal on this buy we did, you know, this acquisition. I don't think that was it. I think it was all about the scarcity worry that there's not going to be enough capacity to build out the needed amount of batteries and solar power type of products they need for their future. And everybody's like, oh, if that's the case, man, think about how much money they're going to make over at Tesla, which was up another 4% today after being up, I don't know, 7% yesterday. And the 7%, why was it up yesterday?
I don't know. Well, maybe they, I don't know.
S-Class, which we all knew about. It's all out there already, but they said that it may come out a little bit earlier than anticipated.
It's a homely car. It's nothing. It's basically they've taken, it looks like somebody took an S, which is a gorgeous car, and then they jiggered with it. It's got the same tail lights, the same front end, and it's all crunched. It's got a big dome roof. It doesn't look good at all to me.
It looks like somebody took it with a rolling pin kind of and fluffed it and pushed it and then pulled it and popped it. You know what I'm saying?
It looks like rising dough.
But that was up. That was a pretty big day for that. And it was interesting because it's it feels, it may not be, but it feels like some of these moves are very desperate. And in other words, that people are just reaching. They're just, it's moving, so they're just grabbing it with anything they have because nobody wants to miss out on anything. And that's what I'm talking about with the markets that are moving on the M&A, the M&A news. You know, on Monday we saw the Monday news, which was Medtronic was buying Covidien, which was a big deal. I think it was $46 billion or so. And actually, I believe that they're going to be moving outside the U.S., their headquarters, so they don't have to put up with U.S. taxation rules. Mm. Another company bites the dust.
Yeah, that's going on. That's not stopping.
All right, so when you have this going on and a backdrop of Iraq, which I think we're ignoring, oil prices possibly moving up. I don't know if they're going to shut down their oil flow, but who knows what's going to happen there. Russia, the whole situation there is under the same kind of problems. Then you have optimism in Germany. You saw the ZEW sentiment index, which I put on the attachments here. It's kind of fading pretty well. I mean, you look at that over time, and it's like nobody's paying attention to any of this stuff. Maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. But it seems to me that some of this stuff is important. Look at that. You're talking about this year, it's gone from 62 to 29.
Huh.
It's the economic sentiment index. It's like the consumer confidence index, which guides people to, or at least tells us what people are thinking and how they're going to spend. And, of course, in an economy, spending is kind of important. You know, it does have something.
Yeah, I'd say generally.
So what do you think? I mean, you thinking that this is kind of the end of days coming or what?
No.
You think it's just going to keep on going?
Yeah.
No, seriously? Really?
Yeah.
So this is just the longest.
What are you expecting to happen?
Oh, I don't know. I've given up on trying to predict.
And let's also look at historically whatever happens in the summer.
Not much happens. You may see a drop sometime in there because you have low volume and low volume. Sometimes if there's any kind of a disruption and there's not many people trading, you usually see the volatility pick up. But then again, volatility came down again today. It spiked up for a couple of days there and came right back down. And this is traditionally what you'll see ahead of a Fed meeting, especially with a very dovish Fed, you know, because the Fed and the central banks around the world have done absolutely everything that investors want them to do.
And why would they change their ways?
Well, I don't think they have any reason. It's not, on the other hand, you know, it's not like they're getting, well, maybe they are, but it's not like they're getting, hey, bonus points for driving things up. It's not like, hey, you know what, we're going to tie your salary to the economy. And we know that Janet Yellen was one of the top picks because of her totally dovish nature.
Yeah.
So unless, I guess, we see some crazy consistent monthly increases in inflation that starts to get concerning, if we see that the economy really starts revving. Listen, they revised the economy down to 1% negative for the first quarter. We saw the IMF came out overnight from a 2.8% annual to down to a 2%.
Right.
Again, that didn't bother markets either, by the way.
Well, I listened to Lagarde give her little talk to the reporters, I guess, and she was she seemed pretty level-headed about the whole thing. It was weather.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're going back to the weather.
And she closed it, but she closed her meeting by saying, well, we got to address global warming.
Oh, that just would, that's now that's a full discount of the discussion.
Pretty much.
You know? Anyway, a couple other things. So I went to the Apple stores. I had the final and last drop of my iPhone yesterday. I had this iPhone. I have the 4S. And the reason for that is everybody else in my family has the 5S. And I am waiting for the 6. I'm not upgrading. I'm not paying for it until I get the 6. The 4S works fine for me. And I went to the Apple store because in the morning, I dropped my iPhone with a case on the floor. And usually it's been pretty good. This time, the screen just went black. Now, you could use the actual keypad. You can get calls. You can get message alerts, sounds. But you couldn't actually see what was going on. So I had a back up my iPhone, and I had to actually unlock it from the iPhone, which I had to do. I had to put myself in a bit of a blind trance to remember where the buttons were that I had to push for the combo. And it worked. I got it. But I went, I got a 4:30 appointment at the Genius Bar. I got there at 4:40. they said they don't have my appointment. I said, well, it's 4:30. Well, 4:30. Oh, that's been canceled. You're late. I said, well, wait a minute. If I was here at 4:30, you'd make me wait till 5. And I'm 10 minutes late and you change my appointment. What do I do? Well, the next one we have available is 5:45. I said, what? How does that work? So it's like a doctor's office. You know, you could wait for an hour and a half at a doctor's office. No problem. I have a doctor that comes in my office, waits 3 minutes, they walk out. What is that whole attitude about?
It's bothersome is all I know.
Well, the good news
is... In the olden days, doctors used to come to your house.
Yeah, I dropped your name at the Apple store and I got right into the front of the line.
Yeah, sure did.
No,
so they could tell you your appointment was canceled. Yeah. Oh, you know Dvorak? Come on in. Oh, sorry, you're a minute late.
Right. Actually, what happened was it was pretty good. You know, they give you the old, your phone is broken. I'm like, uh-huh. Nothing you can do about it. I'm like, uh-huh. Cost you $199 because I'm out of warranty, which I knew was going to be the case. So I sat there. I did my thing and kind of rebooted it and did it. And, better than ever.
Well, you know how I know a guy. I know there's a trick, by the way. You can get your thing replaced for free.
How?
I know a guy who did it once, and then he kept breaking his phone. And he finally did it again, and it was using the same trick. You go into the Apple. First the screen has to be shattered with shards, so it looks like terrible. You can't use it. And then you go in there with your right hand. All the fingers of your right hand have to be bandaged.
Oh.
And there has to be some blood coming, you know, that's sticking around your hand somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And you say, yeah, this thing is, I'm getting all cut over this thing. I don't understand what the, why I can't, you know, I need a new phone. And they see that apparently, I'm just guessing now, but I know it works. That they, you know, they don't want to get sued for cutting people or getting somebody infected from the phone, and they just swapped it out immediately.
Hmm. So, do you go through the whole process of actually hacking up your hand, or do you use like fake blood?
No. You just have a little extra blood. You just have something that looks like you're bleeding, and then put the bandages on it, all the fingertips.
Wow. Well.
Just try it next time.
Next time. So mash up the screen, cut my hand, wrap it up, go in there and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. It's spontaneously broke. Now I'm getting cut up. Look, I think...
I'm getting all cut up.
You should put some cuts on your face, too, like you put up to your ear.
Yeah, I don't think you have to get that carried away.
That carried away. Okay. All right, I'll do that next. Anyway, Starbucks employees nationwide now eligible for free college education through the University, Arizona State University's online. Online. So they don't have to do that in the store, right? They could do that at home. So you could, I guess, 135,000 workers are going to graduate debt-free. Allow as many.
Online courses. How far can you go with that?
I guess you can go a lot in terms of PR.
Yeah, and that's what they're getting. This was on every news outlet.
So is this for full-time workers or only part-time? What's the story about that?
I don't know. I think the whole thing is just like... why would they charge you for these online courses anyway? It's baffling. Who's that guy who has all his online courses for free? That Indian guy who's got a million courses.
Oh, you're talking about Khan Academy.
Yeah, Khan Academy.
Yeah, but that's a brilliant thing. Listen, before Microsoft and all these guys put all the money into it, and he was just a guy that was helping out his niece, trying to get her through school and doing these Blackboard deals for her and helping her.
Yeah.
And he had a website and he had videos. I mean, I had my kids use that. Brilliant process. I mean, very, just an amazing, you know, thing that he was doing out of the goodness of his heart. Smart guy. Seems to know everything. And now if you go on the website, Khan Academy, and you take a look, there is a massive, just an absolutely massive staff working there. You just keep on scrolling up the pages of all the people.
Wow.
And like I said, there was a lot of money that was funneled in there. I think... mega millions.
Yeah, when I found out, you know, there's a lot of other free courses. So I decided I'm going to take some free courses.
Oh. And?
Yeah. Well, then I couldn't figure out what I wanted to take, so I haven't taken anything.
I want to take up the guitar.
I don't know about taking guitar online is going to be the problem I have with all this is it's still a teaching machine. These things have never worked historically. And why would they work now? Yeah, you got some guy lecturing you, and you could be, you know, you can't ask him anything. There's no real two-way communication. It's not like a real guy trying to teach you something where they can say, wait a minute, wait, we're doing this all wrong to you.
Well, when you're when you're in college and you're in one of those, you know, big classrooms of 200 people, do you get to really ask a lot of questions?
You can after the lecture. You can go up and ask them some questions.
So there's email. You send email to the instructor.
No, that's different. It's just like, oh, guy, I got to wait for email. No, in college, generally, if you have a big course, and I've taken some huge courses, you have like, it fills up a 900-person auditorium. They have little, they have, after the lecture, there's these little gatherings of a teaching assistant and maybe 10 students. And there's like a lot of these little things. And that's where you can ask all your questions if you have any questions. But most of the time, it's these great lectures. And it's not like you're, you know, being taught mathematics with 900 people. It's math's pretty small courses.
Well, I think that when you have, listen, my son's going to college on Friday. We're driving him up. Starts on Monday. And he's got University of Central Florida.
Ah, party school.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually the second largest school in the country. 60,000 kids go there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these schools like that. Amazing. You don't know how big they are, like Northeastern.
Actually, Arizona is the other one that's the larger one. I think that,
Arizona State?
I don't know if it's Arizona State or University. I don't know which one it is, but it's Arizona. I guess it's Arizona State. I guess.
Well, they're both pretty
big. But you know what? Large size, you know, there is some benefits because there's like specialty programs at some of these schools, like at University of Central Florida. They're really known for their hospitality management. Obviously close to Disney, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's big because the Rosen School right there is, you get your internship right there. They have the integration with the Disney and all the properties and all the different hotels and everything.
Yeah, the University of Las Vegas, UNLV, has a hospitality thing because, you know, of all the hotels and casinos. And you go to UNLV and you learn how to manage a hotel with 6,000 rooms,
right?
Which is not non-trivial. You know, most hotels have what, 100 rooms, something like that.
Now, but where would be the place that you would go for? Like, if you wanted to learn about innovation, where would you go?
I would go to the, it's funny you should ask.
Oh, yeah?
I would go to Stanford.
Yeah, see, that's the whole point. Proximity is big. You know, if you're going to be somewhere and you have access to something, why not, you know, go to the place, for example, that actually has all of the things that you need. So the Stanford University has a Graduate School of Business and School of Engineering faculty teaching courses online. Now, you mentioned some of these things that are one way. This is not a one way kind of thing. This is, you know, you get a course and you have obviously instructors and you can actually do the email and there's online classes. I think what you were talking about before is different because it was kind of a one way thing. You know, you're learning, you're not having interaction. But basically you can learn to think differently about your business with new business frameworks and insights from successful entrepreneurs. And you're doing it with Stanford, which is kind of the, I think it's synonymous with innovation. So you could check out all sorts of free webinars. You could look at all the different things they have to offer over at ideas.stanford.edu or call 650-741-1596. This is I really encourage you. I think John does as well. And he's really a big fan of Stanford, which is right in his backyard. You know, you can check out all the things they have to offer. Spend a few minutes looking at the website and finding out the courses and how it works. And you can get 10% off your first class by using coupon code podcast when you're registered over at ideas.stanford.edu. Thank you. I didn't bring up the whole Starbucks thing there, but huh?
Great program.
Yep. So, and on your way there, if you need a taxi and there's none available, you can obviously use your Uber app, which now is valued at roughly $17 billion. Now,
makes sense.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter, I think I mentioned, my daughter used it from LaGuardia last week?
No.
So the line on a...
LaGuardia to Florida?
No, that would be
a long way.
Long way, yeah. No, LaGuardia to Manhattan, which is about a $30, $35 cab ride. And the lines were a mile long for cabs. And she said, what do I do? I said, well, she goes, oh, I know. I'll use Uber. I have the app. I've never used it before. I said, okay. So she used it. The car comes within 10 minutes. No, she's all excited because they knew her name. I said, well, you gave them your name. That's how they know your name. You know, it's not like if you didn't tell the taxi guy what your name was, they wouldn't say, hello, Erica. But she uses the app. She gets in the car, right to her place, $36 minus 10 for the first time use and tips included. That's pretty good.
It's a steal.
Yeah. But here's what's interesting. So this Uber is valued at $17 billion. And it gets that valuation because of its latest round of funding. And the latest round of funding, which I thought was just unbelievable, was that just last week they got a $1.2 billion in funding.
Yeah, isn't that a little high?
I usually see, like, you know, smaller pieces.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Somebody put in $1.2 billion, and this is going to be a constant hassle with the taxi. Already we've seen, you know, all these different strikes. Now, in London, there was a big taxi strike. This totally backfired. Big taxi strike. So now there's no taxi. So what does everybody do? They use their Uber app.
Yeah.
Totally backfired.
And they got to see how great it was. And then without all those cabs on the road.
Right. This was not well thought through by the taxi companies, right? See, this is the great thing about the difference between like a union and like capitalism, if you will, or entrepreneurship. So on one hand, a union is going to go on a strike. If you're another company and you had the situation, what do? You up your game, right? You go out and you try to compete. But the taxis don't compete. They just stop both services, pissing everybody off entirely. And Uber comes in. So if you had two Ubers out there, Uber 1 and Uber 2, and one of them decided something was going on with the other one, they would probably up their game. They wouldn't just stop working.
Well, this sort of thing does work on occasion, like in France.
Well.
Where they just shut the whole town down. And then you can take Uber somewhere, but where are you going to take it?
Well, it didn't seem to work.
Uber will never get a foothold in France.
Probably not. So here's something I thought was really interesting, and I think we need to discuss this because it freaked me out when I read the story last night. You know that the Federal Reserve owns a tremendous amount of treasuries, right? They've been buying them up like crazy.
Most of them.
Yep. Yeah, Russia owns a bunch of them. They slowed down on their purchases. China really just dropped their purchases dramatically. Then you have, obviously, hedge funds / mutual funds and ETFs that own them as well. All these treasuries. But the biggest owner of them is the Federal Reserve. So now we know that they're
Which means U.S. public.
Yeah, U.S. public, but through
Own our own debt.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is that, you know, obviously, if in fact yields start to spike, their portfolio, their valuation will go down. And exactly. Even though they're holding these things to maturity, they don't want this to happen. One of the problems is that if, in fact, there's a big sell going on, and if they hold a majority of these and they're not selling, liquidity is not there. Okay? So now here's the problem. Fed's saying, what do we do about this? Well, they're thinking that maybe we're going to impose exit fees on bond funds to avert a potential run by investors. Now, you got to think about that. The Fed. It's a good idea. The Fed has all the bonds. The Fed doesn't want to lose money on their bonds. So they rig the market so other people can't get out. Now, they rigged it to begin with, obviously. So why not rig it on the outside, on the out, right? They rigged it on the in. Now they rig it on the out. But I mean, really, I mean, come on. This is way outside the lines of investing. You know, if they're going to hold it, I mean, why wouldn't you own bonds and play the game along with them if they're going to totally manipulate the system to a point where you don't even have a choice when to get out? If they're going to put some kind of a gate on this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's genius.
It's genius. It's horrifying, but it's genius.
Yeah, well, it's the whole market's been horrifying since when did it just begin? It started to become horrifying in the year 2000. I haven't seen anything improve.
Well, one of the things that's, I think, interesting about this is that if, in fact, let's go to the other side of this. Let's say that they draft some kind of law, and let's say they're even saying it's going to go into place. And this really becomes a conversation. One of the things that you never want to tell an investor or any person ever is you can't get your money. What do they do? What's the first thing they do?
What is the first thing they do that they?
If you tell somebody they can't
get, that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. The first thing you do is you're saying, "Hey, your money's not available." They just line up to get their money. They start a run on that bank.
Yeah, of course.
So if you tell people that they're going to have exit fees on these bond funds, do you think it's going to actually, they're going to be like, oh,
you're that's fine. That's going to create a run on the bonds.
Yes, of course. Anybody that even was thinking about taking some profits out or even getting some liquidity, why the heck would they keep their money there?
No, you're right. We did bail now.
Yeah. So you're going to get this, you know, possibly helping.
Whose idea was this? What bonehead in the operation came up with it?
The Federal Reserve.
No, I know, but who? There must be somebody in the Reserve.
Oh, who knows? Yellen? Who knows? One of the wackos that work there that just think this is just some like pong game. All right, Priceline buying OpenTable since we last talked at a deal valued at $2.6 billion to add restaurants. This kind of makes sense, right? You know, you make a reservation for a plane and a hotel, and you get your reservations for your restaurant at the same time. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Does it make sense to you?
It makes sense, I guess. I don't know if the price makes sense, but it makes sense. It makes sense from a strategic perspective. It makes sense from a business perspective.
Maybe somebody just likes Shatner.
Maybe. $103 per share for this popular internet restaurant reservation company at a 46% premium to the closing price. And they're going to complete this in the third quarter, which now all of a sudden, again, remember I told you about this whole merger and acquisition fever that's going on? This is now being brought to many other companies that are possibly have been, you know, really chopped down of late that may see a fit, for example, like a company like HomeAway, which does the vacation rentals. This is a company that the shares just came down very hard, about, 30-40%. But there is some potential for other companies that may want to look into this. You may look at a TripAdvisor in a HomeAway. You may want to look at another hotel booking company in HomeAway, or even that, for that matter, Priceline and HomeAway, even a Google, for that matter, if they want to expand their whole travel side of things. But there's a variety of companies in this area. Like Yelp was up 13% on this news.
Huh.
But these kind of deals that can be very easily folded in, and because you're talking about technology now, right? You're not talking about a lot of human capital. You're talking about technology rolling in, which is a very easy process, or easier, you know, versus two manufacturing companies coming together. Much easier process to bring together. So I think you're going to see a lot of that excitement stay within the markets.
It'd be nice to be able to identify a few of these possibilities. I would have never guessed this one.
Yeah, this.
I mean, after it happens, yeah, in hindsight, you go, oh, obvious.
It's not, right. Well, I mean, if you look down the list of of companies, and you look at, you know, some of the technology that's out there that they're looking for, whether it's going to be, the chip companies are on fire right now because a few of the manufacturers are buying them. You look at the SolarCity deal that happened where SolarCity is buying up a solar company to add to production capacity domestically. I think that, you know, possibly there, I mean, I don't think it's that hard to think about what may be companies that fold in other companies or come along and kind of consolidate. But the question is it going to actually happen? I mean, Microsoft and Apple differently, but Microsoft, the price lines, and these major companies that have in the travel-related and leisure and entertainment business, I think there's they could really see a lot of action here. You know, look at, for example, Pandora. You know, Pandora is like, all right, if somebody wants to get a streaming music service, why don't you just buy them and be done with it, as an example. Shutterfly, a photography, you know, photo sharing service is something that could be possibly looked at as a candidate. I mean, there's a lot of companies that seem to be, you know, that do one thing very well, and they may be profitable, or they may not be. But yet, they're, I think, very advantageous for a buyer that is looking just to expand in that area to pick them up.
Yeah. Well, doesn't help.
All right, so you want to talk about tomatoes?
Who would buy Yelp, for example?
Who would buy Yelp? Well, who would be a competitor to like a?
I think Google would buy them.
Yeah, Google could buy Yelp because it could fold into their travel business and expand that whole thing. A Yahoo. Although they got their own
Yahoo could buy Yelp.
Yeah, Yahoo could buy Yelp.
But Yelp's overpriced, isn't it? Who's going to buy them at these prices?
Well, there was a 46% premium on OpenTable.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, even if nuts. You say there's 20%, you know, so then
nuts.
Yeah, so
paying way too much money for this junk.
So what they do is they figure that, you know, investors figure, well, if this was bought at a 46% premium, while it may not be worth this in the open market, if we drive the stock price up 20%, it's still halfway there. It's not the worst thing. Right? So the open market price with the potential of an acquisition on the horizon, 20% premium is not that bad. The company will still be bought for 20-25% higher than it's worth now. So that's where you see the PE expansion go on and the valuation expansion go on. So that's, I mean, there's definitely some. I have an idea actually on a stock that I'm going to pick today.
For the show? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely on the outskirts, not one of the ones you would think about necessarily. You would not think of it.
Well, that's what I like.
Tomatoes. You say tomatoes?
I say tomatoes.
Yeah. So it seems that cardiovascular disease in the lower is lower in southern Europe, where residents eat a lot of tomatoes as part of their Mediterranean diet.
They drink a lot of wine, too, you know.
Right, tomato wine. No? So I guess in tomatoes there's something called lycopene?
It's a yes.
Powerful antioxidant in tomatoes.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it needs to be cooked.
Oh, really? To get the full value of the lycopene out?
Yeah, I think so.
So it seems like the scientists from University of Cambridge found that lycopene improved the widening of blood vessels by 53%. So blood vessel... Yeah, 53%.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Blood vessel constriction is one of the factors that leads to heart attack and stroke. And they found that lycopene's effects also enhanced when tomatoes were pureed or combined with olive oil. There you go. So maybe the cooking, but also more importantly, pureed, not chopped, not diced. Pureed.
See, this actually doesn't make any sense. Unless you're breaking up, you have to break the cells up so much to get this stuff out. I don't buy a lot of these. You know, when they start saying things like, well, it works better if it's pureed as opposed to diced or, you know, whatever, or cooked down to a goo. Combined with olive oil, which really, why does olive oil have to be in this mix? It just sounds sketchy.
Well, it would sound sketchy if they said that when tomatoes were pureed or combined with olive oil with a touch of salt. I mean, that would be the end of it, right?
Yeah, I was getting there.
Yeah, but tomatoes are actually very versatile. I'm not sure if
tomatoes. Yeah,
I'm not sure how much you know about the versatility of tomatoes.
Is this another ad?
No. But cars made from tomatoes might be the next wave in auto manufacturing. Ford and Heinz have partnered to explore the creation of certain carports, like wire.
Where did you get this story? You can't even read it with a straight face.
So tomatoes. Okay, wait. Explore the creation of certain carports, like wiring brackets or storage bins, or out of the repurposed tomato peel stems and seeds left over from ketchup production.
I was at a CES show maybe just a few years ago, and they had it was either a phone case or it was actually a phone that was made from corn. Of course, the corn is processed through a refinery, and it became like a plastic. It was actually plastic, but it was originally corn of some sort. It was just crazy. But yeah, this is the kind of thing they're thinking about. It wouldn't surprise me if Ford would be involved in this because Henry Ford was buddies with Thomas Edison, and one of the things they developed together with one other guy, I think the guy's name was may have been Kingsford, but it may have been King something. No, it was King. Mm-hmm. That was King's, and then Kingsford. Kingsford charcoal.
Oh.
Was invented by the briquette was invented as a joint venture between Ford Motor Company, which had all this sawdust apparently they accumulated because there was a lot of wood involved with the early car manufacturing, and this guy King, I guess, or there maybe it wasn't even King, maybe it was Edison may have been called the King of Inventors, and that's where the name came from. Whatever the case, these guys invented briquettes as you know to use recycle crap, and this is a recycling trick, and that Ford seems to be into it.
Yeah. There's also actually a
story. Repurposed tomato peels.
Yeah, there's actually another story about shrimp shells, where they're using them to as a alternative to plastics.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that too.
I mean, just look at it. You know, a business that I've always wanted to have. This is kind of like you use every part, right? Ford is working with Heinz. Heinz makes the ketchup. They have all this extra junk that who knows what they do with. And you want to try your best to utilize that to make sure that your profitability is as high as it could be, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that the perfect business in life would be a combination sushi bar, bait shop. Right? So you got all this stuff. You don't sell it. And a couple days go by. It's not so good. You throw it over to the bait shop. Let them use it. All the squid and all the good, the shrimps and all the good stuff. Well, tomorrow's a big day. Yep. We're going to see that there's a big announcement coming from Amazon.
Yeah, the 3D phone.
So, yeah, what are they going to have? They've got two cameras on the back and somehow take 3D pictures that you can then put on a 3D printer? Is that the deal?
No. No, it's just for entertainment purposes. You get it. They'll have one of the true 3D displays, and I've seen these things. They're actually quite good. You can't make them too big. I think you can. I guess you can get to 5 or 6 inches with them, and then it doesn't work after that. But it's a. Yeah, I don't know if you have you ever seen one of these LCD 3D LCDs. I mean, Nintendo has one. The 3DS. There's one. It's not the best I've ever seen, but Fuji has these displays on their 3D cameras. And when you look at the display, it's actually a 3D image. It's very, very, without glasses or anything, any assistance. It's really, it's astonishing.
So when you look at this, it has a 3D look to it, that dimensional look to it. It's not like it pops off the screen, right?
Yeah, it pops off the screen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be good for what? That's going to be good for not when obviously using a smartphone. So why did they do this in a smartphone? Why didn't they just do this in a tablet? Because of the size?
Do we know for a fact it's going to be a smartphone?
Supposedly the announcement was that AT&T will be the exclusive carrier for their new smartphone.
Well, it's a smartphone.
So
how? Well, yeah, the tablets. No, when you get to the size of a tablet, that the 3D that screen doesn't work as well.
Oh.
Otherwise, they'd make big, giant ones. They've been trying to get – it only seems to work on a small screen where you can't really – where the effect stays, you know, works. It just works. It doesn't – when it get big, it doesn't scale up very much.
So Amazon
– like works best on a 3-inch screen.
So Amazon made the Kindle and the Kindle Fire. Actually, I have an extra Kindle Fire here that is – I just wiped it down. It was my daughter. She doesn't use it. Wiped it down to factory settings. I don't even think I could sell it for anything. Right?
Give me a shot. Craigslist.
Okay, yeah.
You probably get $25 for it.
Okay, so is this really a good marketing plan to get into this business that is fully saturated by Amazon? I mean, they've got to come up with something just superb, unless they're going to somehow.
You mean fully saturated by? You said Amazon. They don't saturate.
No, the smartphone market.
Yeah, it's fully saturated by who?
Anybody that's Android / Apple.
Yeah, okay.
So Amazon's coming in here, and what could they possibly... I mean, even thinking outside the box here, what could they possibly offer? Because their whole...
prices?
Possibly, but still, the whole idea of what Amazon did was to have more product sales from the Kindles, right? It was all about the e-book reader. It was all about the shopping and made easier. Do you see the recent commercials for Amazon, by the way, with their Kindle Fire?
Mm-mm.
Great commercial. So the guy's standing there, and he's finagling around with his Kindle Fire. He's got the big screen TV on. There's a party going on in his house, and he's sitting there going, man, I want to show these pictures on my big screen. I can't figure it out. So he pushes this little button, this little help button, and on appears a live feed with a video with this very pretty woman talking to him and walking him through how to actually do this. Like as in you could, I guess you could do this, I suppose, as the help button and the video comes on. You're talking to somebody, saying, "Okay, how can I help you? Well, I want to project my Kindle pictures to my big screen. What do I do?" And she says, "Well, press the whatever button," and it works.
Hmm.
So they're really pushing the whole idea of having this massive service, which I find very interesting. Because have you ever tried to actually get somebody at Amazon? Have you ever tried to call Amazon? Have you ever tried to find the number of somebody to call at Amazon?
No.
Go ahead. I'll talk to you.
That doesn't sound possible the way you're making it.
Right. Because it's all online. You know, they take the emails, and they're very good about that, but they don't really have an infrastructure, or they hadn't had an infrastructure, for personal, you know, chat slash this kind of video conferencing. So if they did do that and they were expecting a big crowd, they'd have to have plenty of people on the, you know, waiting. And the other problem is, if you have a chat, people could do multiple chats at once, right? When they're on the phone, and especially a video, they have to be one-on-one with you. So I'm not quite sure. That should be interesting to look at.
Whatever the case is, I think this is going to be... Amazon is an aggressive marketing company that I think will do something that will get us... We'll be talking about it next Tuesday for sure.
It'll be interesting. So beef prices continue to go up. Since 2009, U.S. ground beef prices are up 76%, the highest on record. After a seven-year decline in the herd, left the fewest cattle in at least six decades.
Yeah, I've been eating more bison now than I have beef recently. It's the same price. Why would I eat beef when I can eat bison? It's better. It just tastes better.
Is it available everywhere?
I don't know where it's available. That's where I get it.
And it cooks the same. It tastes the same. What's the fat content?
No, lower? No, it tastes a little better.
Really?
And it's got less cholesterol. It's a better product.
It doesn't have any of that gamey flavor to it?
No.
Bison burgers, bison meatloaf.
Bison burgers, great. We just had bison meatloaf last night.
Wow. Well, maybe you could post some of your recipes.
Just a hamburger. You use it just like you do ground beef. It's exactly the same.
You ever have a Butterburger?
It's when you start fooling around. I had this problem because I made an elk meatloaf.
Oh.
It was an elk combined with some beef, I think. It was like half and half or veal. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But I do remember this. Elk is too heavy to use in a meatloaf. Do not do it. That's my tip of the day.
You ever have a Butterburger?
I can't. The butter melts.
Yeah, they put the butter inside the burger as they're cooking it.
I have not had a Butterburger.
Yeah, I haven't either. It looks good, though.
It's like fried bologna.
Oh, God, fried bologna. Well, actually, they make fried butter. There is deep fried butter.
Yeah.
Adobe came out with earnings. You know, they had the transition with their subscription service going on for some time here, and there was some concern in the beginning, but that kind of wore off. And then stock actually was down over the last several months, started to rise into this quarterly earnings, and they did beat by 7 cents, a 27% EPS beat. Expect a strong second half. Revenues were about $1.2 billion recurring from the creative annualized, from the Creative Suite annualized recurring revenue. And they have 2.31 million paid Creative Cloud subscriptions. They were up like 400,000 for the quarter.
Nice.
Yep. Stock was at an all-time high. I believe it was an all-time high. Although they did come out in the conference call and talk about a second quarter looking a little bit softer.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be. I when they first came up with the Creative Suite, I thought this was a winner from the beginning. I knew it was going to be take a little while to catch on, but you have no choice. Curiously, even though I've been offered a free subscription, I don't use it, which is weird. I can't figure that out. But I just think I don't have enough time in the day. Because the problem, I think, with the Creative Suite for me is I'd probably want to learn more of these packages. I don't have time for that. I can do Illustrator and Photoshop, and I don't really want to get too involved with the other stuff.
Yeah. A couple other things, and we'll get to our stocks here. General Motors issued another batch of recalls. It's affecting... only 3.3 million.
It's always
million.
The ignition system.
And why is it that they seemingly can't get all of the recalls at once? Just say, like, all of our cars, bring in, we'll check it out. 3.3 million vehicles.
Disaster.
Stock, it doesn't budge, though.
It's not like it's skyrocketing.
No, it's not, but it doesn't. It looks like most of the bad, everybody's like, oh, I think everybody realizes that they have a big problem. And this could be, I'm just saying... I mean, what would move if 3.3 million vehicles being recalled and obviously class action lawsuits coming and deaths related to this and nobody's really fighting the whole thing and everybody believes this is the case, what would it take to really drive this stock down at this point if all of this news is kind of known? I mean, what else can we know? What else can happen?
The CEO can quit and say that the company's going to go broke. I don't know what can happen.
Well, I'm just saying that it's an interesting place to maybe think about, you know, always.
Think it's a good long?
Yeah, it's a good long, potentially, if in fact all this news is baked in already. You remember what happened with J.P. Morgan? J.P. Morgan had issue after issue after issue that was just like, oh my, right? I mean, just, and the stock would go down a bit. It was kind of held back, and it clearly didn't, you know, take off. But and then, but it really didn't decline too much. Oh, another $6 billion loss. It's down 25 cents. So when a stock acts like that, and the realization, especially in this kind of market environment, that nothing goes down and for too long of a period, and there is the opportunity out there for all sorts of potential growth, or there is at least the idea that individuals believe that, you know, the future is brighter in general, then when you see that a lot of this negativity doesn't really, I mean, it did take down the stock a bit, but it really hasn't moved it since. Let's take a look at a chart real quick. Can we do that?
GM?
Yeah, GM is the symbol. GM.
Okay.
Yahoo Finance. Oh, let's use that right here since it's easy.
What, do you want a five-year or what?
Yeah, well, no, just you look at, I think just look at a two-year because, I mean, or even a one-year.
It's only been in business 2 years now, I guess, the new GM.
Right. So GM. All right, so let's look at the charts here, basic chart.
So it got as low as... Excuse me, 20.
Lowest 20 is now it's 36. So when you look at the chart here, yeah, but even in this whole, this is what, 6 months, this is 1 year. But it has only been in the last six, 8 months that this has all been going on. And the stock, look at the stock chart long term over like a 2 year period. It's down at 20. It kind of been climbing. It dipped down from 40 to 32. The worst was like 32. And even today, it was after this announcement, it was up almost 1%.
The book value is $24.
$24 on a $36 stock, not bad. $12 of downside possibility, and you're at book value. It's like a bank.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, just a thought. Just
trailing
a thought.
PE is 19.
A little hot.
PE is 7.
Yeah, so it's low
the
for that.
Peg is 0.5. There you go.
Yep. So I'm just saying, a lot of the stuff is pretty much baked in at this point. It would seem to me.
Yeah, it looks like a good long.
Yeah, there you go.
Should be like a.
Well, you put on the stock list if you want there, if you want.
GM, nah.
No, too boring. Last but not least.
That's the exact reason.
Last but not least, Japan exports declined for the first time in 15 months on China and U.S. weakness, which confirms the fact that obviously there is a weakening backdrop. And wouldn't you know it, on that news, Japan's market's up 0.5%. Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, well, the market goes up if there is a decline because the thought is that there will be further stimulus that will be input. And if it was better, it would be good because the market would go up because things are getting better.
That'll do it.
How is that for totally training the investor?
It sounds like you've come up with the formula for success for explaining things.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's very simple. You buy in the dip, you buy in the rip. That's all. Very simple. You buy in the news, you buy in the rumor, and you buy in the news. Just buy. Let's get to the stocks. How don't we? What do you think about that?
We got a lot of green. We got lots of green. Two, three reds. Two of them are mine.
Yeah, one of them stopped. Two of them stopped out. Actually, let me just give a quick brief disclaimer here. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell any security, and we do this. For fun, you can find all this information on dhunplugged.com. The live spreadsheet with our stock picks on a weekly basis are there. And we have a 10% stop out on stocks unless we say otherwise up front. And we have a trailing stop on that. And again, if you're going to use any of these ideas, which we, again, stress is just a game, please seek professional financial advice. Horowitz Company, myself, John C. Dvorak, may own any of the securities discussed, and that will be disclosed. So stop that on Chipotle, by the way.
That's too bad. You know, you had high hopes for a reload on that one.
You know, it's interesting. Actually, you see the stop out was at 572. It's at, I think it's close to 580 or 590 now. This is from a low of about 475 not too long ago. It's on a straight shot up. One of the big reasons is the reason that we had talked about that the only thing that would save this stock, and that was an increase in menu pricing, and they did so. That's really the backdrop of what's going on here. And they're actually doing it pretty in a smart way. They're defining those positions that they have or the products that they have that are big sellers and very popular and adding to those and testing out the pricing in terms of how that flies. And they're not seeing too much negativity to it at all. So I guess that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, if you can increase the price and keep up the same amount of production, then
people keep going there and eating that food. It's as bland as it is.
Mm-hmm. That's why you put a lot of spices on. So going down the list, the El Paso Pipeline partner is doing very well, continuing to creep higher, 10% up for that. Anheuser-Busch is up, 10%? Dycom up 11%. Sina, which may actually see possibly some downside again tomorrow because one of the other companies like it announced some earnings and came in well short overnight. With the meat prices higher, actually, Roost Hospitality is up now. It's a short, up 1.8%. AGCO up slightly. Destination LL has stopped out. Navistar up 6%. Weibo stopped out. 2% gain. It was obviously a much higher gain for a little while, but turned around very quickly. As a matter of fact, today up 7.5%. Acorn up 6%. SunCoke Energy up 4%. Herbalife just laying around there. Your banks are doing great, you know, or good, you know, for Bank California.
Yeah, nailed the banks.
Yeah, very good. Skull Candy, still got time on that. That could turn. Fresh Market, outrageous. 8% in a week and a half or so.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Really good. Aeropostale up 3%. The gold shares up 13.5%.
Yeah, I think that was a good call.
Thank you. TransDigm, flat. I'm going with a stock for this particular show, which is a company that is involved in animal and pet medication products, things of that nature. Now, this has been an area that since the bottom of the markets has actually been very, very good. People got seemingly because maybe of, I don't know, they needed some comfort. Their pets became ever so important, more than, you know, usual. And now people are just crazy things that are going on with pets. They have them as, what is it, comfort animals? What do they call them now?
What are these things? It's a service animal.
Service animals, you know, and you can get it certified and then fly free on the plane with them and take them. What do you think about people when they bring their pets to the restaurant?
It says service animal.
Service. Yeah, and that's okay?
I don't care.
You don't care?
One time I was in Paris, and a big Rolls Royce pulls out in front of this restaurant. Kind of a shady place. It's good quality food. And two Dobermans come out of the car. And the restaurant was designed in such a way that there's an aisle down the middle and tables on either side. The Dobermans, one goes on one side of the aisle and the other one goes on the other, and they're looking at everybody that's seated, and they sniff and they keep walking, the two Dobies.
Are you telling me that these Dobermans had their own limousine?
No.
Oh.
They were in the limousine.
There was somebody with them.
And these two, the Dobermans go all the way to the back, and then they come running back to the limo, and then some guy gets out in a fur coat, and he comes into the restaurant and goes into the back.
Hmm.
That was kind of one of those things you go, wow, that's pretty interesting.
And why do you say this was kind of a shady place?
Because of that.
So this company, Zotys, symbol ZTS, has been doing very well. Actually broke out today on a nice move higher, about 2% higher, but it broke over the top of a really good chart pattern and on a daily basis. And this is, you know, there's companies out there like a Henry Schein and a few others that could be interested in absorbing a company like this and maybe acquiring it. And when you look at this, it's kind of like what in a weird way, but with Acorn, how they acquired eye companies and other men, you know, this is kind of the idea of adding distribution with very little overhead and very easy integration could be something that somebody looks at this and says, hey, you know what? If we do this, we could really have a very quickly accretive transaction and expand our product line, get rid of duplication, and have a whole new potential customer base or addition to our customer base. So Zotys. Anything from you?
I got a couple of things. Ooh. I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a couple of things. Now, let me just make sure I've got the right ones. All right. This is a screwy one. But QLTC.
I like when you have the ones I have no idea what it is. QLTC. What's that?
It's an iShares.
iShares Really? You're going to go long corporate bonds?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'd go short these. Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay.
This is, don't forget, this is an ETF now.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Okay, so it's not an insider buying thing, is it?
No, I don't have any insider stuff this week.
So this is the iShares BC. So this is, if I'm not, I got to look this up, but this is, I'm assuming these are long-term, I got to look what these are, QLTC, higher yield corporates. Oh, but let me just tell you something about, I'm not dissuading you, I'm just telling you that traditionally, junk bonds or low-rated corporate bonds, high-yield bonds trade with markets usually because they trade more like stocks in a way. But the spread between corporate high yields and treasuries, for example, are the smallest spread we've seen since, I don't know, 2007. If you see bond prices change and because of yields rising, how'd this thing do today, by the way?
Let's see. It's pushing under. It's bouncing
off. It should have been down today, right? Yeah, it was down today, 0.5%.
Okay, I'm not going to put.
No, I like it. Go ahead, do it.
No, I'm pulling it.
Oh.
So I'm going to. So you've soured me on the market with that commentary.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to short.
Yeah, what's short?
TIBCO.
TIBX. TIBX. And you're shorting this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a short. Oh, yeah, you want to. Why are you shorting this? What's the deal?
This is a pure stock chart play.
Oh, TIBX. Let's see what the stock chart looks like.
When you look at it, you'll go, my God, it's a horrible chart. This company, something's wrong.
That's in a downtrend. It just broke this downtrend, but now you have the potential head and shoulders as things rolls over a little bit. But yeah, no, it's been kind of frightening. Let's see what they do here. Friday, June 13th. Hey, when are they coming out with earnings? Wait a second. Earnings are coming out. Shares were low last week. This is done on June 13th. When are they coming out with their earnings? Fourth quarter is as strong as the company hasn't failed, but they have failed that. Price target. Last earnings are not event. This quarter. Well, what's the date?
They don't say, do they?
June 19th. When's that?
A couple days.
That's Thursday. Oh, boy. There we go. All right. TIBCO is forecast to record lower second quarter earnings after the close on June 19th. Currently at 13 cents a share, drop of 5 cents from 18 cents during the equivalent quarter last year. Sequential expectations are 6 cents lower than last quarter. Company hasn't failed to meet or repeat estimates. Okay. All right, I'm with you. Anything else?
No, just a one stock.
One stock short. This is due to bad chart. Bad chart.
Well, not a bad chart, but this. You know, I've never been a fan of the company, I guess.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
It's good enough reasons. All right, very good. Excellent. Well, we'll get that up. And, of course, you could follow The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Or Andrew Horowitz on Twitter. You can listen to some great other shows that John has, like the No Agenda Show, Mind the Disciplined Investor. We got, this week we have coming up Alan Krueger, former White House head of economist, the chief economist of the White House. And what else? And, of course.
You have Alan Krueger on the show?
Yeah.
Well, that should be entertaining.
Yeah. So,
we got the show number 627, I think, coming up on the No Agenda Show, and it'll be 627 shows without a guest.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys we've never had a guest, have we?
No. Yeah.
Who needs
I'm not
a guest?
A fan of it. I mean, I like guests, and I mean, I can do shows with guests, and I think I can do an interview as well as most people. But it's just a pain in the ass. You got to book the guy; he doesn't show up. I have a long diatribe about how much more enjoyable it is to do a show without guests.
I like guests on that show.
Yeah, on your show, it's fine. And then you have people like we had guests, people, especially if the show gets successful. Oh, can you book our CEO? Oh, can you? People start pestering you to be on the show.
Right. We get some people all the time asking us, and we get the PR firms, calling or writing and all that. And you just got to go past that. So, all right. Well, I'll see you next week.
All right. Either or B square.
Yeah. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.